Welcome to another edition of the Ed Die Horror and Paranormal Podcast. This is Ed Die. And October 1st was National Ghost Hunting Day. I know I told you guys last time about it, and I know there's been links online. I put links on my site, and I was talking about it to everyone. I think I even tweeted about it. Now, the coolest thing about it is if you don't know what it is, National Ghost Hunting Day was a day when paranormal investigators across the country, and I think even some across the whole globe, got together. It was put together by a group, and it was actually sponsored by Destination America, America's Most Haunted, Haunted Journeys, and a bunch more. And it was basically to get paranormal investigators all together on one day to do one giant paranormal investigation at the same time. Not at the same place, though, because that'd be crazy. Come on. So all over the place, people were hunting for ghosts, looking for the paranormal stuff, and a lot of them were doing it online. They were doing live feeds. I know there was live feeds. If you went to, I think, nationalghosthuntingday.com, there was a thing where you can search who's looking up where and who has live feeds for this and that, so you can keep track of what was going on. Now, all those people got, I'm pretty sure somebody got something somewhere. Now it's just a matter of waiting and seeing who got what. I myself was lucky enough. I got an invite from the LIPI, L-I-P-I, the Long Island Paranormal Investigators here in New York. I was lucky enough to get an invite to go on their ghost hunt out on Long Island, out in Suffolk County. Now, this is the first time I've gone with an official group. Now, I've done a couple of things here and there, but not with an official full team with full-out equipment. I've gone with people with doing EVPs, with recorders, various equipment. This is the first time I've actually taken part in a group that had a ton of equipment. So this was actually fun and funny, and I got to see a lot of how the equipment actually works, which was actually pretty cool, because a lot of them, I've heard the names, I've seen them on TV. I'm sure you guys have. I've seen them online. But this is the first time you actually get to see the thing up close. You know, it's different. It's like, I guess you can call it like similar to like meeting someone famous. You've seen them on TV, but when you're actually meeting them, I mean, it's the same face, but it's a different experience. But to give you a little history about the guys from LIPI, they are from what I gather, and then even off their website, you can go to, it's liparanormalinvestigators.com. They are the longest in operation paranormal investigating team on Long Island. That's not to say that there's no other teams that have been around just as long as them, but they're the ones that have been consistently going on the whole time. They're actually a non-for-profit group. They're helping people understand paranormal. They're not out there. They're not doing a TV show like some people I've spoken to who have told me some shows out there are really just more about the entertainment than actual science or anything behind it. But anyway, they don't charge for their investigation, so you can contact them if you're in the Long Island, New York area, and let them know that you think you got the devil in your house or something. The group uses all equipment, a lot of the equipment you've seen on TV and online, I'm pretty sure. They use digital recorders, video, audio, high-speed photography, all kinds of stuff. I'm going to even tell you some of the stuff that we use. One of the things they don't do, they try to keep it very scientific and very professional, so they don't do Ouija boards, tarot cards, seances. They don't jump into that stuff. Now, that's not to say that I don't think they don't believe it, but they're going with a scientific route. It's easier to prove something when you use science. That's why there's the scientific method. If you even see the new Ghostbusters, there's a whole speech about it in the new movie that's given by one of the Ghostbusters, which I think is out now on digital and Blu-ray. So feel free to go pick it up. Pick me up a copy. There's an extended version. But anyway, National Ghost Hunting Day. This was fun. I know the LIPI, as they call themselves, the Long Island Paranormal Investigators, I know they did a live stream on Facebook. So if you caught the show last time, or if you're followers of them, or if you know any of them or anything, or if you were just taking part in National Ghost Hunting Day, hopefully you saw their live stream amongst the many going on all over the country. Now, we've got, I'm saying we, but technically they. I mean, I did record with video, so I am going to put a video up soon. But they got all this equipment and stuff that was recording and reading the whole time that we were at this place. They've got to go through it now and find basically, you know, what do we capture? They got to see what's on film, what's on audio. And that takes time, man, because that's a lot of stuff to go through, especially when You have multiple cameras going, multiple recorders and devices going. I think there was altogether, there was about maybe 12 of us. We broke up into teams, but let me go back now and give you the history and a little information about where we went. We went to Selden, New York, out in Suffolk County on Long Island, and we hit Ciro's Nice Italian Barbershop. Now, we went there. I think the majority of the team didn't know anything. I think one or two people knew something because obviously they have to know something if they've been contacted. But the majority of us did not know anything about this place. I'm going there thinking it's just a regular barbershop and not the kind of barbershop where you'd find iced tea cutting hair. This is an Italian barbershop, as I was told. So you're most likely to see someone like Robert De Niro walk in than like iced tea. Now, phone. What we figured during the live stream, because people were watching and contacting us, some people mentioned the history of the place. Apparently, it was a butcher shop at one point, and then at another point, it was a karate studio that took up the entire building. Now, it's a small building. Right now, I think the barbershop has about two-thirds of the building. One-third of the building is a, oh my God, I don't remember. I think it's called Tai Zen Academy of Self-Defense. And then there's a parking lot in the back, and the main building is a one-floor building, and then there's a basement. That's about it. The owner of the butcher shop was named Bruno, which some people claim, they think it might have been him that's coming through, possibly. People talk about buzzers going off by themselves. They've seen shadow people, things moving and falling for no reason. It's because, I mean, this is a barbershop, so there's flat surfaces everywhere. There's a heaviness apparently out back, is from what I'm told, and I guess the back part of the room in the parking lot, which I'll mention later. Something happened by the back room area. There's also talks about seeing actual people walk. This is the cool part. They walk into the shop, straight up. You know, you're sitting there doing someone's hair. You know, there's someone sitting in your chair getting their hair did, and they're straight up seeing somebody walk in. Now, you're in the middle of cutting hair. You look up. Oh, I'll be with you in a second. That person's not there, but you saw them walk in. This bastard's done disappeared. Apparently, this has happened a couple of times. And this isn't a tiny place where they're going to bump into you, but it's not a huge place where someone's going to walk in and you're going to lose track of them. When you see the footage and everything, once it goes up, you'll see it's roughly one giant room. So if somebody walks in, there's no way you're mistaking. Not to mention, while we were there, it's glass doors. We're inside. It's fairly quiet. You can kind of hear traffic outside. The moment you open the door, you hear the outside noise come in. So if someone or something opens a door and walks in, you hear it. There's no mistake in that. And funnily enough, as we were doing the investigation, there actually was a, I think there was a building or a gas station or something down the street on fire. So we were a little concerned about picking up their audio from the sirens and stuff. And the lights too, because, you know, the flashing lights can cause reflections that you don't need if you're trying to record. Fortunately, they left before we started recording, but apparently in discussions of that, found out that there were a few hit and runs out in front of the building too, and people have died from a couple of accidents right out front of the building. So the entities or spirits that are in the place might not necessarily be people that work there when it was a karate studio or the barbershop. It could be people that just died outside and it was the closest place they can go to. I think across the street was a convenience store. So what are you going to get at a convenience store? Barbershop, there's tons of talk and gossip. So if you're going to haunt somewhere, you want to haunt somewhere where you're going to at least be entertained. Now the team set up six cameras, I believe, all over the place, and all roughly, I think we were covering almost the entire first floor and the basement. I believe the basement had three separate cameras, and upstairs, I think was another three, and they were angled. And I know one of the cameras had a couple other things next to it, which I could tell you more. But six cameras. We started off, I think, the whole night by doing a bridge, and I mess up the word, and I'm blaming one of the guys from the team. I'm not even going to try and remember what it was, but basically opening the gap to the spirit world. It's like a speech. I can't even remember the word now because I was so focused on trying to get the right word that I can't remember which one was which, but roughly like invocation, not incantation. That's the word I'm looking for. In other words, telling them that we're here for them to communicate. Feel free, you know, basically we knocked on the spiritual door and said, open up, we're here. We're not, you know, we're not selling Bibles or anything, so feel free to open up, spirits. We started off with that, and that, I believe, was something that we were told to do specifically by the people that were running National Ghost Hunting Day. Everyone at a certain time was supposed to do it at the same time, so we all kick off together. There were festivities and everything online, I believe, taking place at a convention somewhere on the other side of the country. But that's what we started with. I believe we started with an EVP session right when we did that, and I believe we were using the Echovox. That's an interesting little machine. If you've seen it, it basically, it's almost like its name, Echo. It's, and you listen, I don't remember if we really got anything at the beginning, but there's a whole group of us together. So, I mean, if there was something there, it could have been intimidated. But then again, there's a difference between what we hear in the machine, coming out of the machine, and what gets recorded on the various devices. So that's part of the reason we, you know, they have to go back through everything. Once we did that, everyone split up into four teams and went to various parts of the building at opposite ends of the building to use different contact equipment. Now I'm going to break down, let you guys know what equipment was being used. I know one of the first things that got my attention, aside from the walkie-talkies, was the Geiger counter. Now this is the thing that detects gamma radiation. If you guys know what gamma radiation, it's the reason why Bruce Banner turns big, green, ugly, and mean when he gets pissed off. Now, this is radiation, which, you know, bad for you. This thing really shouldn't be going off if you're in, like, a public area. If you're walking around a place where they're dumping chemicals and whatnot, yeah, it might go off. But we're in a barbershop. I really doubt there's radiation in a barbershop. But what was interesting about this thing, it went off various times throughout the night. Detecting stuff and moving up and down. What was interesting is we watched as it raised up when we asked it to, because we did a couple other EVP sessions, and at one point it raised and was staying up, and we're all there. You know, it's interesting, but I'm also thinking to myself, are we going to get cancer? Are we being emitted with radiation? Am I going to go home, get pissed off, turn all big green, and rip everything down? Because it was a concern between a couple of us. I mean, there's suddenly a radiation spikes. What was interesting is we asked it to go up to a certain number. It didn't reach it, but it kept going up and down, almost as if the needle was trying to, but couldn't. Maybe it was we were asking for too high of a number. I don't know. Or maybe there's just not that much radiation. Hopefully we're safe. But what was interesting is this was happening during an EVP session. So the audio recorders and everything and the cameras are going while this thing is moving up and down. I know there's footage of the needle on the Geiger counter moving up and down. We close the EVP session, basically saying, thank you for talking to us. We're going to close this little session off and move on. The moment we did that, needle went right back down as if whatever was moving it was like, peace out, bro, and just left. So that's interesting right there. I know we as humans, we don't feel temperature changes, and yes, temperature can change here and there in rooms depending on how many people, but these are large rooms. They're not going to change that quickly. I know on some of the thermometers, the temperature changed a couple of times in different spots. I know at one point I remember somebody saying that there was a certain area that got cold, if I remember. I don't remember if it was on the first floor or the basement, but I do remember someone mentioned that there was a significant change in temperature. Like I said before, there were six cameras. One of the things I found really cool about one of the setups, which I'm sure you guys have seen, but it's cool to see, like I said, to see it in person, was a laser setup. They had a giant laser, which I believe most you can use for leveling, but it's still, without a doubt, a laser. And what is the laser? Nothing but light being shown, energy. Now, and like the belief with the paranormal phenomenon and spirits and ghosts and anything like that is that they pull on energy to manifest or do anything. So if the laser is going, if you see the laser twitch, or at the same time the laser get blocked by something that's not there, like shadow people, which they've said they've seen, various people have seen throughout the building, the laser would catch it. So there was a laser next to one of the cameras at the bottom of the stairs where I believe they said they've heard whispers and they've heard people going up and down the stairs. So obviously whatever's happening in this place is not just downstairs in the basement, but it's upstairs. And apparently it uses the stairs. I guess there's no ghost elevators up in this place, or in the spirit world for that matter. But it was cool to see the laser. And it was bright enough that you could see it from across the room, but not too bright to the point where it was lighting up the entire room. So the room still stayed dark. So during this whole investigation, we're in the dark using flashlights that really upped the creepy factor. I don't know what it is about ghosts or spirits, but they really like the dark because it keeps the spookiness away. Now motion sensors, the majority of the time they were pretty quiet. They weren't going off as much. It only went off if we went near them, and we were being careful not to just straight up walk in front of them randomly. We were making sure we know what it is we're doing. So the motion sensors, like I said, quiet for the most part. What I found interesting was that at one point where we were upstairs talking, I think it was during one of the EVP sessions towards the end of the night, the back corner, the back room area, right by where the stairs go downstairs and where there's the back door into the back parking lot, where they say there's a whole heaviness. Just as someone, I believe, was turning, saying that they thought they heard someone, and I think someone else said they might have thought they saw a shadow moving over there, the motion sensor light went off as if somebody was there. We were all on the far end of the building, way out of reach of the sensors. There's no one else in the building. There's nothing else moving. It's a little tiny hallway where there's nothing dangling. There's no air moving about. There's no air conditioner on. So something set off the sensor, which was pretty cool. I'm pretty sure we got that on camera with so many cameras going, because there were six stationary cameras and I think about three or four maybe handheld cameras possibly going, if I remember. But, and there was the live feeds, so other people must have seen it, but it was pretty cool to see the motion sensor go off. Now, the coolest part of the whole night, like I said, was the various equipment that we used. I talked about the Echo Box. Then there was the Spirit Box. Now, that's the one you guys probably have seen on TV, on different, you know, YouTube, wherever you look up the paranormal stuff that you guys like. And for those that don't exactly know what it is, it's a machine that scans radio frequencies. It kind of sounds like a radio with multiple personality syndrome and Tourette's, because it's basically every so often you hear radio voices from the radio. You have to remember now. So you'll hear like tickets get rocking. Oh my goodness, he loves me. All that kind of stuff coming through. I did two sessions. I watched two different teams work with the machine and I listened as it got results. Now, with the machine like this, yes, you're getting voices coming through already because it's scanning radio frequencies, AM and FM. And depending where you are, it's how strong and how many signals there are out there with this machine. What you want to listen for is if you do hear something respond to you as you ask questions, is it answering your question? One, I mean, you don't want to ask, if you're asking something like, how many of us are in the room and the thing goes purple? It might just be a radio voice. What you're listening for is, does it answer your question? Is it the same voice consistently? And is it the same voice consistently on different radio frequencies? Because if I'm listening to 102.3 and I hear a voice and I'm like, oh my God, it just answered my question. And then it goes to 92.1 and I don't hear the same voice, but I'm thinking it's answering the question. Yeah. If it's the same voice on each station, either you're talking to a spirit or somebody out there is messing with you and has a radio station nearby and knows what you're doing. But that was pretty cool. We listened as some of the questions that I know we asked and it answered. We asked how many people are in the room. It told us three, which is interesting because that came up a couple of times, the number three, because I know on one of the other machines, the word third came up a couple of times. We asked it if it knows who's in the room, if I remember, because I know at various times it named people on the team and that were in the room. Speaking of which, a couple of the people on the team actually heard their voices whispering their names, not coming out of the machines. They heard whispers. And to be honest, I think I did hear some whispering coming at one point, but with my damaged hearing, I couldn't be 100% sure. But when someone else tells me that they were hearing the same whispers from the same direction, it's good to know I'm not crazy and not deaf too. That really helps. So with the machine, it named people. What I found interesting was we did ask it if it knows how many people were there, how many of us are there. It named 8. What's cool and weird about that is that I don't know what it was counting, because there was actually 10 of us, but I'm not essentially part of their team. So that's an interesting factor. So does it know that I'm not part of the team? And someone else didn't show up till later in the night. So did it, was it reading 8 people as, yeah, there's 8 of you bastards that are part of this team bothering me? And then there's one fool here who does a podcast and his camera, who ain't got dick to do about nothing and is here just bothering me with his questions too. Funnily enough, talking about bothering it, I swear at one point, I think one other person thought they heard it too, out of the spirit box, I heard the phrase, "She's a bitch, come out." Whether they were talking about one of the girls on the team or I just heard somebody bitching about somebody's love life on some Love Line radio, who the hell knows? The other thing we use is the very famous one, and it's the one that a lot of people can't get the name right. I've met various people, and they know the machine. They know roughly what it does and how it works and how to say it, but the name they don't have 100% right, and that's the ovulus or the ovulus or the obelisk, as other people, like I said, people call this thing this various names. It's got one name. It's spelled O-V-I-L-U-S. Don't mix that up. Now, this is a machine that has words in it, and there's different settings for it to be used depending on basically how you're using it and what you're doing. But the basic premise of the way this thing works is you put it down, you ask your questions, and it's set up in a way that the spirit should be able to look and find the words it wants to say and say it to you. And this is, the one that sounds like Stephen Hawking. So, if you're like, "Are you haunting us?"
"Yes."
"Are you upstairs, downstairs?"
"Upstairs."
It's that voice, which adds creepiness, but adds a comedic sense to it sometimes, depending what it is saying. We use this thing in the basement, in the far back corner of the basement. And I know at one point, that's where the Geiger counter was going off a lot. That's where we did that EVP session with the Geiger counter. That's where someone else mentioned they felt the presence. And I believe some of the other equipment picked up some things too. There was a certain spot in an area where some of the other equipment was spiking and getting things. And when we looked around, there wasn't really any electrical things going through there. There's no real pipes or anything in that one specific spot. But that's where the ovulus was, just a couple of feet just from that spot. We sat there. It was fairly quiet most of the time. It didn't do as much as people think. I mean, not all ghosts are talkative. They're not all me. So if I haunt you, you better hope you can't hear me and don't turn the machine on, because I will keep blabbing all night. But some of the words that it spouted out were kill, which was interesting. I don't know if there was any kind of killing or murders, but unless they're seeing as a hit and run or the accident someone died in, if they're seeing that as being killed and not as an accident. The third came up again. One of the other words that came up, interesting enough, because in the corner is a big life-size statue of Santa Claus. When we asked it, one of the people asked it, "Who is in the corner?" Its answer was Anomaly, which I found, okay, funny enough. Anomaly, maybe you don't know who Santa is. Maybe you don't know who he is. Maybe you were a Buddhist or came from another country and you just don't know who Santa is, whatever the spirit is. But Anomaly is what it said. I just let that go until the end of the night, where the team write down what their readings were, their low readings, their high readings and everything. They got all this paperwork to make sure everything's on top, tip top, and kept it together so that everything makes sense. And they were going through words that were said, and I believe the word Anomaly came up a couple of more times for some of the other people, other teams. Like I said, it's one group, Lippy, but broke up into 4 teams during the night. And the 4 teams, I believe, they did get the word Anomaly, which is an anomaly itself. How about that? It was very interesting. It was cool. Now, part of the whole International Ghost Hunting Day was also to promote the professionalism of ghost hunting, respecting the place that you're at, the history, and the people that are still there and maybe were there. I mean, it's not about going in and just all willy-nilly and like, who there? Who there? Ghost talk to me. Who there? You know, bring respect, professionalism, not just to the ghosts and the people there, but to each other. Make sure your team is respecting other teams, because this was about multiple teams, hundreds, maybe even thousands of paranormal groups across the country working together at the same time. It's a thing about solidarity, because, I mean, the field of the paranormal, specifically ghost hunting, I've mentioned it before, it's still fairly new to the general public. They've heard about it, but it's really becoming more of a big thing. And a lot of people are starting to get into it. That's why you have more TV shows happening. But it's also, you know, about working together. I mean, you're not here. Fine, one team investigates somewhere. That doesn't mean another team can't investigate there another time. There's no reason to compete. You're not winning anything. The ghosts aren't giving away money. And if they were, it belongs to me anyway. But just, you know, general professionalism throughout the whole field. Now, as of now, with, like I said, all the recordings and readings and everything that they've done, it's time to go over the evidence. And I know the guys at Lippy are going to be analyzing the evidence. I have video myself, which has to be edited. And even before I finish editing, it's about sitting there and going through it. It's not even about, I'm going to use this shot. It's, first of all, before I even cut this shot down, is there anything in the background, or is there something speaking? Because I'll tell you right now, I'm not that I'm going to piss my pants, but I'll be happy as hell if I did pick up something. But that means I got to take a day, sit there, and just listen and watch and do nothing else. Just me, headphones, the screen, and God knows how many gallons of coffee to stay awake. Until then, though, I'm going to be throwing more stuff at you. And it is too busy of a month for October for me to be doing that just yet. So it might be a while. But the guys from Lippy, I know they're trying to get through it, and they're going to try and post up their evidence and everything. So if you guys want, jump over to their website at liparanormalinvestigators.com. See what they have going on. They've got listings of other investigations they've done throughout the area, and they go to other places. They're not just Long Island, New York. Having spoken with them, I know they've gone to other states. So feel free to contact them, guys, if you know about a place that's worth checking out, or if your place is worth checking out, or if you're the ghost yourself and you know how to email, get yourself, you know, a Gmail or a Hotmail or a Yahoo account. Email these guys and tell them Ed Dye sent you. And until then, remember to keep it scary. Let's talk paranormal. I'll talk to you guys next time.